Up next, removing paint from old siding and our continuing discussion on prefabricated basement systems.
Welcome to the Handy Guys Podcast, where we work together on that honey-do list, featuring head-to-head tool challenges and your questions. Here are the Handy Guys themselves, Brian and Paul. What a concept!
Brian, there is not a worse job, in my opinion, than removing paint from the siding of your house. And that's a question we got from Will. We're going to be talking about a little later on. Would you agree with that?
I was scraping last weekend, Paul. I know all about it.
Not an easy job. And also, we're going to continue our discussion on these all these different companies that sell prefabricated basement systems. We talked about some of the pros and cons of these systems last time, and we want to continue that this time and look at some of the different systems that are available and what are the things you need to look for if you're going to go forward with a prefabricated basement system. But before we do that, let's hand out our contact information, including our new phone number.
Yes, our new phone number is 818-804-8665 or 818-804-TOOL.
Yeah, about that? Baby.
That's kind of cool. Or on our website, we have a little call me button. You can click on that, type in your phone number, and it'll connect you to either Paul or I, or drop you into voicemail. So you may want to try that out or use the contact form on our website, www.handyguyspodcast.com.
And if you hear this, if you're listening to this podcast and you really want to talk to us live, you have a really good question, let us know. Leave us the voicemail and say, hey, I'd be willing to talk to you guys about this on one of your shows, and maybe we can arrange that instead of just answering your question on our show, we'll bring you on live if you want to do that.
Sure.
Especially if you like to use Skype, because now we can get some good voice quality.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
So, all right, Brian, we'll be back after this.
It's time for listener questions with the Handy Guy.
Okay, Brian, we got a question from Will, and as you said, it's you've been scraping paint. It's no fun.
Right.
And it sounds like he's got a doozy of a situation. So let me read it. He says that I've just bought my first home ever. It's an older fixer-upper house in the historic district of Knoxville, Tennessee. I painted houses professionally for a few years, so we've told the renovation contractor that we won't have any interior or exterior painting to do. The house has aluminum siding on it now that we want to remove. The standard siding in the neighborhood is vertically slatted cedar siding, and luckily this original siding still exists under the aluminum. If possible, we'd like to try and rehabilitate it instead of replacing it. I've painted a couple of other houses in the neighborhood and know firsthand how painstaking it is to scrape that old alligator paint off, fill the remaining gaps, and paint over. I'd like to take a more aggressive approach to this project by just stripping the siding down to the bare wood and starting from there. I'm thinking of some sort of belt sander would probably be the best approach here. I wanted to ask you guys if you have any suggestions for the best type of sander to buy for this project, or if you have any other suggestions. I've been listening to your show every day since the purchase of this house and learned something new every time. Keep up the good work.
Will. Hey, thanks, Will.
And Brian, you know, it's interesting now that I'm rereading this question that he has done. He's done a lot of scraping.
He knows like, what's ahead of him.
He knows. And so, but I understand also he wants to not just scrape off a layer of paint and paint over it and just to have it peel again in a couple of years. He's trying, you know, if he's going to do all that work, he wants to really get down to the wood so that he can get a good quality
good primer
coat of,
on there, yeah, and a good paint. He doesn't want to leave anything loose behind.
Exactly. And hopefully if you get a good coat of paint on there, it'll last more than a couple of years.
Right.
So.
Well, first of all, Will, forget the belt sander.
Yeah.
You're dreaming with that. Even if you got a belt sander with a, you know, a 24 grit paper on there, yeah, that's going to take off the paint. It's also going to leave a rough surface behind, and it's going to clog up with paint really, really quickly.
Right, exactly. It'd be very frustrating. Right. Plus, it's heavy, and it's just getting it up there, and it's not going to get all of the siding.
Yeah, so, you know, that's not the right tool for the job. There are there are other mechanical means similar to a belt sander that, and they're at all different price points in the market. From something by Wagner called the Paint Eater that's about $30 that has a kind of a wheel that spins that's looks like a Scotch-Brite pad, except it's much stiffer. And that will remove loose paint.
But does it get you down to the bare wood?
Yes, it does.
Oh, okay.
It's going to take a little bit of work. It's going to take some time. But yes, it does.
Okay.
We're talking about mechanical means now.
Right.
You've got something like at the high end, there's a company called Paint Shaver.
Is that
the name
baby.
Of the company?
Yeah.
And they have a product. You can, it's got a vacuum attachment, and you can go along your siding, and it's almost like a planer.
Yeah.
It uses cutting knives, and it will take off all of the paint down to and a little teeny bit of the wood as well. So it's just going to leave a smooth surface that's maybe a little bit of sanding to touch it up, but then you're ready for primer and decent quality paint. Something like that's going to be in the $700 to $800 range, depending on how you equip it.
Right.
And in the middle, Porter Cable and some other companies have similar products to the Paint Shaver that are going to be in the couple hundred dollar range.
Now, it's interesting, Brian. My first suggestion is, I didn't read the question carefully when I read it originally. I said, why don't you just paint the aluminum siding? Because I looked at a house once that had really ugly mint green siding.
Sure.
And, you know, I did some research, and aluminum paints well, as long as you clean it correctly, and before you paint it and prepare it, it actually holds a coat of paint very well.
It does. If you're just going for a color change, just paint the aluminum.
But
we're both but.
Yeah, that's not going to work in this case because he wants to, I assume he has some restrictions of what he can do. It's a historic district.
And you want to bring the house back to its original glory.
And perhaps. I understand that.
Okay, but Will, there's a couple other things you can try beyond the mechanical means. Sanders are out. You've got the mechanical ones like the Wagner or the Porter Cable, like the Paint Shaver. But you have two other methods. You've got a chemical stripping method and you've got a heat stripping method. And both of those might be appropriate as well. Personally, I like the heat. It's not as laborious as the mechanical stripping. And you can get a good heat gun and a good stripper. It's a little slow going, but it does a good job, and it gets you down to the bare wood, leaves a nice surface ready for paint.
Will it light your cigar?
I don't think it will, no.
Well,
it depends. If you use a torch, it would, but I'm talking about an electric heat gun.
Brian,
they look like a hairdryer.
Electric heat gun on that amount of siding, if you have to do a whole house, wouldn't that take, you know,
it was
5 years?
It's not going to take 5 years, but it's going to take some time.
That's going to be really slow, I would think. And not only that, you might set your house on fire.
Not with a heat gun. With a torch, you would.
Oh.
I mean, we used to do it with a torch, right?
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Like a plumber's torch.
Right.
But don't
don't
do that. But the other method is a chemical stripping method. That's going to be expensive. It's going to be slow. You still have to come back with a scraper, and you might have to do multiple applications.
And then, and you might kill all the neighborhood pets too.
Right. So that's going to be messy.
Okay. So those are some of the solutions. I personally, if I was going, I would look to see if I could rent that paint shaver. I've heard a lot of good things about it. I like the vacuum attachment. I would see if I could rent it and try it, or maybe rent two or three of these tools and try them out.
Right.
And maybe if the lower price one was good enough, maybe consider buying it if I thought that was worth it,
the
amount of time I was using it. But it would be really nice if you could actually try these tools out on your particular house, because every house is a little different. The siding's a little different. You know, depending on the age of the cedar, you may find that it's too brittle for certain tools or something like that.
Right. And then one issue we haven't mentioned, Paul, is safety. I mean, there's concern out there with lead paint.
Mm-hmm.
And your house certainly has lead paint on it. Let's just...
There's a good chance. Very good chance.
Very good chance.
Unless
that
it was
does.
Painted, you know, 40 years ago or something, but before lead paint was common. But yeah, it's...
Yeah,
I guess 40 years ago, it's still being used. 50 years ago, we'll say.
Whatever it
Maybe
was.
Maybe there's a milk paint on it or something.
Right. You probably have lead paint on there. So that needs to be cleaned up. You need to make sure you're wearing the proper safety gear, and you can just Google that and find out what all that is.
Now, the other thing, Brian, that you pointed out, it's very important that it's not as simple as just removing the siding and going ahead and stripping and painting, you may be in for some surprises. What are the surprises that he might see?
Well, what happens is when these guys come around, you know, the siding guy, and he's going door to door looking for jobs, you know, back in the 70s when that siding was probably put up, those guys will do some stuff to your house, have done some stuff to your house, most likely that is not... Those guys are going to do some stuff to your house to get that siding up quickly that's not ideal and that's going to cause some problems when you go to paint it and make it look right. They've cut off the ends of the windowsills, most likely. That's going to be the most common problem. So what they do is instead of the windowsill projecting out an inch or two past the window, they square it off and run the J channel around for the siding and put the siding up. Well, you're going to want to restore that. So now you're talking about rebuilding the exterior trim on the windows. You've probably got aluminum capping over stuff. You pull that off, you might have rotted wood to replace. Maybe that's an issue as well.
Sure.
So you've got a lot of things like that to consider as well. So you're going to need some carpentry skills to bring the house fully back. It's going to look a little funny without the aluminum siding if you don't make those repairs on the details. You've got exterior lights, and how were they trimmed out originally versus what did they do to accommodate the aluminum siding? There's going to be a lot of different things like that you're going to need to address if you pull the aluminum siding off. Hmm.
All right, well, let us know how it goes. Well,
let me make one more suggestion. Okay. This might be a little radical, but I think Will may have considered it based on the tone of his email. If you're going to pull the aluminum siding off and you want to bring the house back to where it is, pull the cedar siding off too. And reside the house and retrim the windows in the original detail.
With new cedar.
New cedar, fresh paint. Just kind of start from square one.
Do you paint it or stain it?
Let's not even get into that. you might use a semi-opaque stain or you might paint it. Will, you're going to have another advantage there, too. If it's a very old house and it's not insulated, you could actually add the insulation at that time, too.
And you may be pulling that as down as well if they and put it down below the aluminum, if they put it insulated.
So they might have insulation board under the aluminum.
So you got to get – so it's amazing. You got to get do all that work to get the siding off, and then you got to make a determination what you're going to do with the cedar. Right. So.
And you know what? It's one of those you might as well. If you take the old cedar off – and you have knob and tube wiring in there, and your joists are exposed, you might as well run new electric wires too. Oh, and you've got those galvanized plumbing pipes that are, you know, used to be 3/4 inch diameter, now only let 1/4 inch of water through. Maybe you replace those while you're in there as well. You know, it could get very, very big, very costly, very quickly.
All right. Well, good luck to you, Will. We hope it goes well. Let us know.
Okay.
Thanks for the question.
Thanks, Will.
Want great deals on tools that the handy guys recommend? Click on the Our Store button at www.handyguyspodcast.com.
All right, Brian, we want to talk a little bit more about these prefabricated basement systems. I mentioned last time that there are many companies that offer these systems.
Yes.
And you'll find that some, you know, have offer systems like using your traditional fiberglass, fiber built, you know, stuck in a wall with a cloth top to it. It's just a soft kind of wall with a metal framing.
Sure.
Some use like XPS core. A type of wall system where they actually build their own
foam.
A rigid foam, and they kind of build their own wall that's kind of like drywall, and it doesn't absorb any kind of moisture whatsoever.
It has maybe a vinyl surface
exactly.
on it, something like that that's hard.
And the big deal with all these different systems is how do you hide the seams and how do you move the walls if you want to? So in some of them that use cloth, you have to kind of get out a putty knife. You have to take off the base trim. Then you gotta pull the cloth out. It's stretched real tight. You pull the wall out. You put it back in. You use your putty knife to get all the material back in tight.
Right. It's like rescreening, but you're using
cloth. Exactly. It's like putting a new screen on. And it's no easy task to just simply, it's not easy to remove a wall. I guess right. It's easier than a drywall. But
and these walls also are going to have electrical outlets
exactly.
in them.
Exactly.
They're going to have maybe, you know, terminations for speakers
right.
and audio video equipment perhaps. So it's not as simple as just moving a partition.
Right. So when you look at the different basement systems, research, you know, if they say you can remove a wall, find out how you do it and how realistic is it. It may not be that easy. The other thing is look at how they build their walls. Is it just something that's thrown together because they happen to sell insulation? So one day they said, oh, we could just throw this together and make our own prefabricated system. Or is it something that's been well thought out to last a long time? You'll see, you know, you can go to YouTube and find all these companies advertising there as well and see different videos of the systems.
Okay.
Then the other issue is, regardless of the wall system, you still have all the other issues we've talked about. Electrical, plumbing, ceiling. Some of these systems actually offer an integrated ceiling system. It's basically a false ceiling that uses similar types of fabric to work with the walls and look similar. So you'll have to look at that. Others, more typical, they just use your typical drop ceiling.
Okay.
Or false ceiling.
What do you do if you want to hang a picture on the wall?
That's another issue. A lot of them will say, well, we have these special clips, no problem, you can hang things.
Right, and they hang from the top edge of the frame or something like that.
Or some attach into the fabric. So, you know, they're all different, but you need to look into that. Typically, you're going to have more problems if you want to put in, you know, built-in shelves, or if you want to hang something heavy. It's not going to be
so
easy.
What if I want to have a fireplace in my basement? Oh, I do.
Well, you have to think through that before they build it. You have a different set of issues. And that is a problem. It's not as easy just to hang things. A lot of them use a proprietary door frame system that works with their stuff. So they have to hang the doors for you, and it works with that door system. Has, you know, different kind of hinges, different kind of door. You know, everything is
right. Like, so what about an interior partition that has a door that's going to get opened and closed a lot? Are these things sturdy enough to accommodate an interior door between two rooms?
That would be something you'd hope to see. And, you know, try out, look at a system in person, hopefully. They're all different.
And okay, what about flooring? I mean,
again,
you know, they're advertising yep. wall systems, but you've got engineered floor, laminate floors, carpeting, tile, all kinds of different flooring options that we've talked about in previous shows. Do these guys do the flooring for you too, or do you have to call the carpet guy?
Some of them will do them, some will sub it out. Some will recommend tile. Because then, you know, it's going to handle moisture better. Some sell wood flooring systems. Well, I use that in parentheses. Wood-like
right.
flooring systems that are actually,
that stuff,
you know,
the picture of wood on...
They're not even that. They're like plastic. You know, they're like PVC flooring.
Oh, right, that glues down in
yeah,
the strips. Okay,
It doesn't even... I think they come in panels, too. I mean, it's like putting the PVC decking on your deck.
Right.
They make it stuff for floors. Some have, I even saw one system that uses this carpet type system that water can go through and you can still vacuum, like it can't soak up water. It's kind of got like perforations in it. It's kind of strange. It's like an indoor outdoor carpet essentially. You know,
yeah, I'd love to have that in my basement, Paul.
It didn't look as bad as you think, but you know, I was just looking at it on a fuzzy video. So you do need to think through that. The ceiling, most of them I think use typical drop ceiling, you know, Armstrong kind of ceiling. That's fine, but you want to think, you know, through that as well. Now, it all comes down, though, in my opinion, Brian, to costs.
I think it does, too. And, you know, unfortunately, these companies don't advertise or aren't upfront about their costs.
Right. So
initially, they want to have that in-home consultation, come in and measure. You can't get a typical per square foot price kind of stuff.
Yeah, we're going to talk more about that right after this.
You are listening to the Handy Guys Podcast.
Brian, I want to talk to you about, yeah, it's true. When you deal with these companies, and some of them, and I'm not going to say all of them because I haven't researched every one, but you can do your research on the internet. You're going to see a lot of people have been involved with some of these companies that market these systems, and they use a very high pressure marketing technique. And that is basically they'll come into your home,
yep.
They'll show you these videos we mentioned last week, these scary videos about mold and why you need to use their system. Because if you have any moisture problems and you go with a traditional method of framing the walls, you could have issues. So they're going to say, you need our system, and they're going to offer guarantees, and they're going to scare you, and they're going to spend an hour or two promoting their system. And after they've worn you down a bit, they're going to give you a price per square foot. And they will start out extremely high, as high as $60 to $70 per square foot.
Wow.
Now, how does that compare to what we did in ours? I think we decided we cost somewhere from $15 to $20 a square foot for our basement, something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, maybe even a little less. So,
and
yeah.
So they're going to come up with some crazy number and see how you respond. And then,
I mean, there's red flags all over
right.
this. I'm sorry.
And then you're going to obviously most people are not going to respond favorably to $70 a square foot. So they're going to come down, you know, 60 to 50. And then they're going to say, well, we're going to offer you the model discount. If you can be willing to be a model, you know, for a reference here and there, we'll take another 10% off. And then they're going to, you know, you're going to get them down easily to say, you know, $50 a square foot. But you're still going to hem and haw. Most people, they realize that's way too much, or maybe $40 even. And then they're going to do the old thing, well, I got to call my manager and see what I can do. That whole, it's just like buying a car, right? Except even worse. And
or a timeshare.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So they're going to try to wear you down, a lot of them. Now, I think there are some reputable ones, some that I saw that will even give you a quote over the internet without, you know, doing this tactic. But you need to watch out for that, because the fact is, you could probably get them down to as low as $20 a square foot in some cases, depending on...
Is that what you found online, some people saying?
It depends,
rough pricing?
$20 to $30.
I would imagine some of the trim work and finishes is going to determine that.
It all depends on what's included. That's what's hard, whether they're including flooring, the ceilings. I think they usually include the ceilings, but I'm not sure about flooring. And
what about trim work? Like if you need a full staircase system with balusters and... trimmed out to look like
exactly.
the rest of your house. That right there can be very
right.
expensive.
So, but that's the way that's how they work. And you need, if you really are serious about one of these systems, I would recommend you find more than one company that offers it and talk, you know, get more than one bid and realize that they may play these sorts of games. And they're going to, you know, they're really aggressive. They get trained. Some of these companies, they can't sell the system unless they've been trained in these marketing scam systems.
techniques.
Yeah. Okay. And, you know, I could see how people will fall prey to this, especially, you know, I think they prey on people that aren't handy, can't do it themselves.
Haven't done the research on what the typical alternatives are.
Right.
You know, I was at one of the home shows I was at, Paul. I don't think you were at this one, but, you know, there was a guy there. He said, we will finish your basement for $9,995. He had a big sign up. Any basement, $9,995. It's a pretty good deal. I said, well, what if my basement's really big? He goes, $9,995. What if it's small? $9,995. You know, I was trying to pin him down. No high pressure. He said, you know, for that, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do a traditional insulation method, traditional framed walls, soffits, drop ceiling, and this grade of carpet, and these kind of trim details. And it was all pretty on the lower end, and it was kind of standard technique
right.
stuff. It wasn't anything too advanced, too fancy. And there'd be extras, of course, if you needed some water mitigation by a contractor, you wanted some additional fancier trim work, fireplace and windows and some other stuff like that. But for a lot of people, that'd be a great deal. And you know what? A lot less expensive than
right,
one of these prefab
systems.
Except
you're getting
systems.
A bad insulation system probably. And
not
you're getting,
a bad, it's
yeah.
just maybe not state of the art.
Well, yeah, okay. But it doesn't cost that much more to do it right for insulation. You know, you have to be careful with some of those guys as well.
Sure,
the traditional
absolutely.
Guys are just going to give you bare bones. You know, they won't bother even bringing up permit. They won't, you know, they'll
well,
throw things together
yeah.
and get, you know, get in and out of there and give you a decent basement, but, you know.
Yeah, if you need a permit, make sure your guy pulls a permit. Make sure you don't have people working on your house that are not insured and so forth.
So that's about it. So that's the biggest drawback in my mind, despite, you know, some of the other cons of these systems that we talked about, is just dealing with these sales guys. And again, they're not all like that, but check around And check, I'll try to get some of these systems listed in on our website for this post. And again, this isn't all of them, but a lot of them that are out there. And do your research, find out how these guys work, and you know what you really should be paying.
You know, if anyone has pros or cons, good experiences or bad experiences with these systems,
love to hear it.
Yeah, post a comment on as a response to this post that goes along with this podcast, and we can chronicle those there. You know, and we'll get involved in the discussion. And if you've got pictures of one that you had done of your own basement, go ahead and just email them to us at handyguyspodcast.com, and we'll try to post them up there.
Well, that's all we have for this week of the Handy Guys Podcast. Be sure to check us out through iTunes, through our website. Subscribe to us if you can. You can get an email every time we have a new post.
Right. You can follow us on Twitter and get notified of the new shows that way. Hey, and our iTunes listeners, do a review for us if you like us. We'd appreciate it. We've got a couple of reviews out there now, but if you're in iTunes and you think of it, just go and let us know what you like about the show on iTunes.
Yeah, there's a little link in it on your iTunes player to add a review.
Yep.
And also, if you haven't checked out our John Deere video, be sure to check that. You'll see that in episode 71, a reference to it. It was actually in the posting before episode 71.
Right.
And you can also rate that. What do you give it? A thumbs up, I think.
The hosting's done by Vimeo, which is similar to YouTube. And there's a little rating comment thing there if you want to play around with that.
All right. Thanks a lot. And we'll talk to you next week on the Handy Guys Podcast.
Thanks. Bye.
The Handy Guys will be back next week. Same handy time, same handy website.